Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Mac, and you are listening to Mac's Musings. This thing should be dialing my guest in just a minute. And it will be Jason Delzell. And we'll be talking to him in just a moment. So bear with me. And hopefully he will be answering.
Hello.
Hello, Jason. This is Mac.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, just working on a little project that no one knows about yet. Shh, it's a secret.
Oh, well,
not even my partner knows.
Okay, so I'm just going to jump right in, since
sure.
Might as well only have an hour show. Now, you're an actor, an artist, a filmmaker, a musician, a writer, and probably a bunch of other stuff. Do you have a favorite thing to do?
Yeah, that's it. Other than other hobbies, I love swimming. I love traveling.
Mm. Me too. Okay. So when did you decide to go into filmmaking?
It took me about till I was 32 years old to realize I wanted to do that.
Ah.
I've had over 40 legitimate jobs, like factory jobs, all different jobs in my life. And I've, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, tell us about a few of the more interesting ones, if you want to. You don't have to.
Oh, I've worked in several different sewing machine factories, CLE mattress. You know, just a lot of factories. I worked on boats, stuff like that.
What did you do on the boats? I love boats.
My brother got me into it, my big brother Aaron. He used to buy and sell them and flip them and stuff like that. So he's a wheeler and Daryl like me, you know what I mean? Entrepreneur.
Mm.
There's probably nothing we can't do, you know what I mean? Just by self-taught or learning or someone, you know, just jumping in and doing it. I believe in taking risks sometimes. That's where I've got to where I'm at, because sometimes I believe you have to do it, you know? That's why I've had so many jobs, because sometimes I have to quit down or maybe do something or change my angle to do what I want to do that makes me happy. That's why it took so long for me to get into the film, you know what I mean? I traveled with bands. I used to promote bands and street team them in D.C., Baltimore. I've probably been to over 2,000 concerts in my life. So I went on tour with Lollapalooza. Vans Warped Tour.
Cool. Well, you know, sometimes it takes a while to figure out what you want to do, and I know how jobs are. I've worked. It can be exasperating trying to find something that you really want to do, and then once you find it, you may not find the right employer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't have no regrets. I love every job I ever had. It taught me something, you know what I mean? Some people look at it like, it's not a good thing, but it is bad and a good thing because I've learned a lot of trades, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, when you've had that many jobs, you can do a lot of things. So there you go. It's not like it didn't do you any good.
No, definitely not.
Okay, now you have a production company called Flipside Industries and Productions. Why don't you tell us about that? And then just before you're done, I don't want you to – well, actually, I shouldn't say just before you're done because I won't know when you're done. But when you're done, I am going to call your friend Drew. So tell us about Flipside.
So my brother Aaron, he opened up a club. He just rented this building out, and we had, like, bands come there. But I've always been into music. Music's a passion of mine. Without music and film, like, that's my two main things. I love everything. I used to play every sport. So my favorite was soccer, playing soccer, and swimming. I was on the swim team. I won some awards for that. And I like diving, you know what I mean? I love the ocean. I love swimming out there. Like, Yeah, so my brother opened up this club, and then I think that's what inspired me to always want to. And I got a lot of friends that are in bands back home in Maryland, all over the state. I know people all over on tour or whatever. Hardcore, punk rock, metal, country, bluegrass. My friends down in Fort Lauderdale, they play every night, every other night. The So-Sos, Chris Monteleone, he's a good friend of mine. He has a recording studio down there. So I think him, my brother, and then my friend Doug Kreitz, he wanted to do a studio. And that made me, I've always been in the movies. I love horror movies. So that sparked it too. I never really thought about having a studio until all my friends used to go out and play out. I got a friend, Teddy Marvin and Bloodborne. You know what I mean? There's many other bands that it could take me a long time to name them, but just that the friendship I got is so deep with all the music and stuff. And I want to just keep on bringing it back. You know what I mean? Keep on promoting it. And then the younger generations, help them out. I mean, some of these people don't have no help or no one around to support them. Start a platform, a foundation where we help people be a part of something to show their talent, no matter what it is. Because art is under a lot of different levels, you know what I mean? Different departments.
Right.
It's like
right.
film. There's like, I don't even know, 100 or more departments. I pretty much know all the departments, except I'm still learning special effects, After Effects, Cinema 4D. So, and then Drew, she does everything. She's a mastermind. You know, she's a wizard, man. Like, I love her to death. But she focuses on, like, a lot of editing, you know what I mean? Pretty much everything, you know what I mean? But her skill set is unbelievable with the editing and all that.
Cool. Yeah, and that is necessary for a film. Editors actually are pretty key to a good film. If you've got a good editor, you'll pretty much have a good film. If you don't have a good editor, you can spend a lot of money on that film and still have a crappy film.
Oh, I know. I'm telling you, she is one of the best people I've ever seen edit special effects, all that in my life. And I've been around some amazing people, famous people. And me and her combined, we are lethal. Me and her can do the job of like 50 people in a crew. We just don't have the funding and all that. All right, Tom, you know, we have the ideas and we're pushing. We're getting ready to do it. Us alone, we're still doing it right now. We're in the making. We're the late bloomers. They could.
But, yeah.
I used to paint. I used to draw.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I used to paint. I used to draw. I don't draw too much anymore. I even tattooed myself because I used to have a tattoo gun. I don't have the patience for certain kind of things, you know what I mean? Attention span for like, that's why I don't edit or do a lot of special effects. Like it's sitting in front of the computer. I'm more productive, you know what I mean? Pretty much all the other departments I can do. I can run a sewing machine. I can make costumes. I can produce. I'm good at marketing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, actually, yeah, I do. And now I want to just take a moment and dial the – well, I won't be dialing it. The computer will be dialing it to dial your friend. And then when she comes in, she'll be talking, and then we'll kind of, like, go between the two of you.
Sure, that's cool.
So
hello?
She should be answering soon. Hello, Drew. This is Mac. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, and Jason is also on the air. So you guys can say hello to each other, and then I just have a short little question for you.
All right.
Get it, girl. That's all I got to say.
Okay. Drew, so you're an actress, an editor, and I believe a gaffer and a grip, and you work in the sound department, and you're like a really good artist because I've seen some of your work. So tell us about that before we get into how you two know each other and work together.
Okay. Well, I do enjoy all forms of art. I like to master all kinds of different styles of art, so I do enjoy painting and illustration work, sketching for like hyperrealism. But then I also incorporate that into my computer graphics designs with visual effects and my editing too, along with my storyboarding.
Which filmmaking job do you think you like the best? Acting, editing, whatever, if you have a favorite.
Well, I do enjoy all of it, but I would say they're pretty equal. I mean, there's all different kinds of views on it. Creating a story and seeing it come to life is very extraordinary. And then also as well as indulging into a character and understanding the character, I believe it's pretty much equal playing fields with that, because you have to put in so much work for both. And you have to convince yourself that you are the character and you are the master creator of your own story.
Okay, good answer. And then I'm going to ask you one more question, because I want to ask you the same question I asked Jason. When did you decide that you wanted to get into filmmaking?
Well, when I was little, I've watched so many films with my grandfather. We always enjoyed the black and white westerns. And when I had my computer and my camera when I was little, I always made, like, little stories and films when I was little. So, and then I guess when I grew up and developing in life, I realized that I'm a storyteller. And so I went to college for it, and now I'm here.
Nice. Okay, Jason, so I want you to tell the audience how you met Drew and how it came to be that the two of you started working together. And then, Drew, if you want to jump in any time, you can go ahead. This is a laid-back show, so. Okay, Jason, go ahead.
Gotcha. So I was living in Florida at the time, and that's when they had MySpace, and I got into Deadlands. I drove all the way up here with me and my dog, and I was in Fort Lauderdale, then when I went to Tampa, my brother, I drove over there and then came straight up here to get in Deadlands The Rising. Gary Aldrich, he's a good guy. Big fan of zombies, man. And I'm so grateful for him that he let me be a part of that, because I was so, you know what I mean? I kept on calling and bugging. I was like, I'm driving all the way up the coast, man. I'm coming. You know what I mean? Because I love zombie movies. I love horror. I love the fact that you can tell a story and flick fear. You know what I mean? Or come up. I love just being scared to death. I watch them totally in the dark by myself all the time. Try to get them to scare me. You know what I mean? It's hard to do, but there are some crazy ones out there nowadays. But I come up here. I was in Deadlands, and then I was in the second one. I helped my mom out a little bit, my family. I moved back up home. I was living at the house. And then I was just getting, you know, I still wanted to be doing what I was doing. I love photography, so a friend of mine told me about the Savini School. So I was like, I'm going to go up there. So I told my mom, I had a little Volkswagen 4-speed. I told her I was going to go up there and live in my car, which I did. I lived in it for like 3 semesters. I had a couple jobs and stuff. And that's when I met Drew and a bunch of people from the Dusk Till Dawn building. You know what I mean? And I was living in my car, doing my homework and all that. And then, you know, they let me come and do shower and all that. You know, we became family with a lot of people. And, you know, I was struggling in school and stuff like that. And, like vision problems and stuff like that. It's, like I said, like special effects. So Drew helped me out. And she lived with me, too. And we became real good friends, you know what I mean? She's like a sister to me. She's family. And we just hit it off ever since. And then I took a break. Well, I got on Banshee, HBO Cinemax thing up here, and then American Pastoral. And about 7 years went by, maybe 9. I didn't see Drew. You know, I mean, we kept in contact, like message. like something you reunited us at this point in time, because I've been still working on it, trying to get gigs, trying to get, you know what I mean, get out there and do the thing. But yeah, that's how I met her in the school. I met a lot of good people there. It was the best decision I ever made in my life. And it's the hardest thing I ever had to do in my life, too, one of them. Because, you know, going back to school at 34, like, I love math, government, all that. I'm a wizard at it. But, like, going back to Philly, that was hard.
Well,
but it was
very
rewarding.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize you weren't done talking. I am so sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you're fine. It was very rewarding. Because all the people that I met there are family to me. And I would do anything or put them in anything or have them a part of whatever I'm doing. You know what I mean? No matter what, you know?
Aw. How sweet.
You came far, Jason.
Yeah, definitely.
You came far.
Drew, why don't you lead us into what you were doing just before you met Jason and then, you know, your experience?
Okay. So I was in college, and basically my student funds ran out. But I was very determined to get my degree. And so it kind of made me homeless for a decent time in college, to where I was sleeping in the school and bouncing around to different student housing with different friends, just so I had a roof over my head. And I had this maintenance lady, Belinda, and she always made me food and cooked me food just to help me through school, which I totally appreciate her today too as well. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be here.
She's great.
So, but I was working on a documentary for PBS, and that's when the school figured out I was sleeping inside the school, and they kind of threatened me to they would strip my degree away from me, just because I was just trying to get through college. And then Jason offered for me to live with him, and I took it up. And even before that, we knew each other. We welcomed each other on different projects that we were doing, so we were always constantly making films and story writing. And then after we graduated, we basically went our separate ways. And about... not too long ago, he messaged me and saying, hey, I'm in the area. And I didn't know we're practically neighbors. And so we hanged out, and then we figured, why not get the film production back together? So we did. And I wrote this story overnight just to do as a project. And so we filmed it. And then we realized that this could be a really big, big film. So I submitted it to the the Pittsburgh Filming Festival, which is actually in L.A., and it's actually being considered just over a night project.
Cool. And that is the story of Drew and Jason. Well, the starting, the continuing saga. Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be some great stuff coming, some more great stuff, I should say, coming from you guys. So, Jason, I wanted you to tell me about specifically, because I know of some people who are in some of the movies you were in. So one of the ones I wanted to ask you about was Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies.
Especially since
I know some pro wrestlers.
I knew you were going to ask that too. I'm not even going to lie, man. That was Cody Notch. Like, I was in school, and I remember Bob getting like on me because he wanted me to do like editing and stuff. And there's certain things like projects, and I was like, hey, I'll do what I want, you know what I mean? So I'm saying, I'm always trying to get on gigs, like, as an actor. I've always been doing that since I've wanted to be in film, so But I can multitask like crazy. You know what I mean? Like 100 different things going at once. So I'm like, some people, and then I end up messaging Cody, and then he's like, yeah. So we're going to be shooting in Charleroi. I'm like, that's cool. So I end up going over and being in Pro Wrestler vs. Zombie. I met some really good people in there, man, like some diehards, like Jennifer DiBlasio. She's really cool. Lou Consolo, you know what I mean? But that is one of the wildest sets I've ever been on. Just because it's fun either. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if I can talk about it, you know what I mean? Because there's some things like, I don't know. I still never seen it. Not per restaurant, but the breeding farm. I did breeding farm too in that one. So there were some things in there. There's a lot of nudity. Most nudity I've never seen in my life. You know what I mean? There's some wild things on there. Like, a friend of mine was on it. She's a best friend of mine, April Huckabee. She has a store in Cumberland, Maryland. It's called the Next Level Mortal. She is a teacher of many things like holistic healing, Reiki, and all that. She has totally turned her life around. She's actually turned mine around too, to be healthier and like eat. You know what I mean? I was a zombie in it. Let's just say there was a lot of naked women, like probably about 30, 40 naked women on it. I'm sure.
One of those. I know. For the most part, I don't even really care if there's nudity or not. I mean, who cares?
But it was natural set though, man. Like everyone was cool. Like no one like gawked or nothing like that. We were all sitting on the couch and they had a closed set. My friend was in the other room because she was one of the main actors, April. So like there was people upstairs doing filming upstairs and stuff like that. There was one point where all the women ran down the steps naked and the zombies were chasing them. We had to run up the steps after them. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Like, but the thing is, I don't know if, I don't know if he didn't put none of that in the film. I don't know. I mean, I've never even seen Breeding Farm 2. I don't know. There's some complications or what's going on with in New York with it's out of Troma Entertainment. But I haven't talked to them guys yet. But it was cool. A lot of good people in there. I met a lot of great people in there. It was so fun.
Well, good. Yeah, good. Having fun and making connections is always a good thing when you're making a film. So, Drew, why don't you tell us about, because I know you were acting in, I believe it was the Forbidden Fables, with a forbidden. And, yeah, you may have only been in the crowd scene, I say only with, I know you can't see it over the radio, but in quotation marks, because no roles are just only, because if it's on the screen, it's important. So tell us about doing that film.
Oh, yeah. That film was directed and written by Dorian Clevenger, which is a cool guy. His artwork is national. All of his paintings are national, and really good guy. But the set was very, very professional. I mean, it was really extraordinary and something that you wouldn't see that every day, you know. And it kind of like different episodes date back at different times and like the periods of times, which was really cool. But I mean, we had a lot of people on set, and there's a part where I had to put on a harness and climb like a 18 foot ladder and drop down from the ladder on green screen. And had to land as a bug, as an insect, which is like one of the moth ladies. And so there's a scene where she's flying in, and that was actually me jumping off a ladder, which was actually really cool. And then also I participated in the sound too, and the crowd. But it was neat because even though we were on the set, we also saw the post-production too of it too as well, with all the CGI and the and also the special effects combined, and it really brought the whole film out. It's an honor that I was on it, to be honest, because it won about six awards?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and it keeps going.
Wow. Well, it sounds like you actually were busy in that you had, more than one job. Like you say, you did the sound and you were the grip. And that usually having more than one job is pretty common in independent filmmaking. So if you're comfortable doing all that, you will probably do well. And maybe you are doing well. I'm just saying, like, in the future, you'll do well, I'm sure.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
And you enjoy what you're doing, correct?
Absolutely. Creating a story is one thing, but then converting to a film is it's completely different, because there's so much you have to consider. Like the footage is just as important as the sound, and also a film is like a perspective through someone else's mind, like how they perceive reality, which is so you kind of get a glimpse of someone's self-conscious when you watch a film. And I think it's, that's why it gives a very powerful message.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I know the two of you worked on a film together, at least one. You may have worked on more than one, but it's one that I know several people that are working on it and worked on it, Captain Happy Son. Now, Jason, I want you to go first, if that's okay, and tell the audience your take on working on that, of what you can tell us, because I know you may not be able to tell us a lot, but whatever you can tell us.
Oh, yeah, that was a fun set, man. Real laid back. It's, I watched it, and it's cool, man. It took me till like a few years. I just watched it because they were working on it, you know what I mean? I was like on it because, like, man, I was so excited to be on it. And I was like, man, when can, because that's how I get with movies. I'm like, oh, I gotta watch it. You know what I mean? I can't wait. Like, there's stuff I've been in that I still haven't had footage or been able to watch. And it's kind of frustrating. I gotta watch it because I love, like, all the departments in it. And there ain't just one department. When you do one job description, it falls under four or five. You feel me?
Right.
It does. It truly does. Yeah, Aaron Moore, he's a good guy, man. I want to thank him for, like, bringing us on there, you know what I mean? They were alumni. They already graduated, but they come back and film, you know what I mean? And they got other projects that they ever do. I'd love to be a part of it. Or I'd love to have some of them in my films, you know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to do, expand, like, everything I've been a part of, try to get someone else in, vice versa, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's how you build it, back and forth.
Well, but, yeah, because you gotta do that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, yeah, I met a lot of people. You know what I mean? Nicholas Wendell, Chad Hixenball, Daniel Blake, Dakota Corman, Philip Redman. Oh, there's just, you know what I mean? Just Matt Deering, Will DeVokes, and a lot of them that were in there I went to school with too, or just friends, you know, to this day. I haven't seen them since that, but I know they're doing good. And I'm sure we'll meet up on our journeys again. Nicholas Carrington, he's a awesome cinematographer. He's great. You know what I mean? I plan on contacting them people. You know what I mean? Kayla Free. There's just people I haven't heard from. I went to school in 2013. I haven't been back here since. You know, I don't think Drew has either. I never even graduated from there. I'm still, I took a leave of absence. But they don't, you know what I mean? I'm just doing my thing. I might go somewhere else or I might go back. I'm not sure yet.
Hmm.
I thought about going to New York Film Academy in Australia. But, yeah, it was a fun set. Let's see. They had – I'm trying to think of what I was doing on it. I know I was a grip, electric, you know, just helping out wherever I could. I was, whenever they need me, I was there. You know what I mean? We spent 12 hours in this night, you know what I mean, or a couple hours, 10 minutes, but I was there. And Drew was too. Like, I didn't really play in the main parts, but we actually just worked on it. I can't really remember. Like, I might have been somewhere in it, like a crowd, like a background or something. I'm not sure. You know, I don't know. I haven't, but I doubt it. Just probably like crew.
I think they have you listed as an actor in the IMDb. I'm looking right now as you're talking. That's why I'm, I'm pretty sure I saw you on there. I can't find it right now.
Yeah, it says Jason Scott Delzell self. But I can't remember because I haven't watched it too many times, feel me? I got to sit down and really... I've been trying to work on my own profile and get my own name out there and try to work on my own projects. I still got a horror movie I've been working on since I've been 18 years old. It's called Death Trap Friends.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So I'm a little behind, and then I'm ahead of the game some places. Feel me?
Yeah.
But I got time to do it, and now I'm on top of it. Like, I love it. This is, like, what I want to do.
Okay. All right, now, Drew, why don't you give us your take on – oh, before I finish with you, Drew, sorry. Jason, I see on the IMDb it does say self, and then it says you were a gaffer. I don't know if you were anything else. That's all I see so far. But I want to go back to Drew since I started asking her a question. That was a little rude of me. Sorry about that. So why don't you tell us your experience of working on Captain Happy Son?
Well, Aaron Moore is a really good director and cinematographer. He worked on that film for 8 years because it's nothing but green screen. And these were students from different classes that were making all these special effects, like the props, like everything you see in that film is prop made, shot on a green screen. And this guy took 8 years to finish this film because, one, he had to because he had all these people who are waiting for that credit. And two, he was being mentored with his green screen by Dorian Clevenger, which is the Forbidden Fables guy. But I mean, the set was really laid back. It's very comical, and it was a film, and it's on Amazon Prime now, Tubi, and I mean it went into the Mount Pleasant Film Festival, which was actually really cool too. But I did the light work for the green screen for that film, and then also I got to see the post production side of it too, and I thought that was really interesting because just rendering like 5 seconds on a green screen or animation can take 30 minutes, so consider almost an hour and a 45 minute film. You know, that was probably over maybe 20,000 hours in post-production.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that is a big problem when you have a movie that's a lot of green screen. That takes a lot longer than people think it does.
Absolutely.
So that had to be, like, cool for you, though, to be able to do that since you like that so much. Did you get to do any stunts and stuff on that one?
No. But I got to proofread some of the script before it was even shot. I got to help out with a little bit of storyboarding. And I mean, and just the set really with just the green screen, and the makeup artists. I mean, there was, I don't know, maybe over 20 makeup artists on this set, and throughout the whole film. And I mean, the continuity of it was kept very clean because it was 8 years worth, and the character looked the same throughout the whole film. And I think that's pretty tough.
Yeah, it is. Because everybody changes quite a bit in 8 years. I mean, I don't care how good you age, you still look a little bit different. You know, because especially if, like, say you were in an accident, like I'm sure you remember what happened, no, you wouldn't remember because you weren't around then, but reading about it when Mark Hamill got in an accident before the second Star Wars movie, so they had to write it in that his face was all messed up.
Yeah, it's a big continuity. I think one of the greatest films with continuity is, have you ever seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Oh, yeah, I love that movie.
Do you know why that movie was shot that way?
I do know, but I want you to tell the audience.
Okay, so Monty Python said, hey, I'm going to make this epic medieval Christian crusade film. And so he had this whole story, and they went over budget. And so he looked at his script and he said, well, how can I make a big production film within my budget? And so they had no horses, so they used coconuts to make the Foley sound of the horses clinking their hooves, you know, as they traveled. The knight's armor were paint buckets. And at the end, with that whole battle royale, everyone was just wearing random outfits, which made it comical. So continuity, very, very clever. He states that with the, you know, amazing.
Yeah, it was. It was a good movie, too. It was hilarious. I just love that movie. Excuse me. So, Jason, do you have anything that you're working on now that you can tell us about? Not the thing that you said is so secret, but anything you're working on right now that you can tell us about?
Yeah, we're working on it started out as like just a mock doc, you know what I mean? We're just working on a film, Agents for Horror. And it's really going to be something. We went out just hanging out one day, me and Drew, and we were just taking pictures. We just messing around, and we just formed this story called Hobo Saves the World. You know what I mean? It's a horror/comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's only a 15-page script, but it's really amazing. You know what I mean? I think it's going to be awesome.
Well, tell us a little bit about it, you know, like for the audience, like maybe a little synopsis of, you know, each one, because they're two different films.
Sure.
One is a mock doc and the other one's a film. So tell us about the H is for Horror.
Well, it started out as just like, you know what I mean, like she had a story, like we were going to work, I really wanted to work on doing a horror movie. You know what I mean? I'm so pressed on doing horror movies. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And like she, like we were like, just, you know, everything we start to do, everything comes into play for some reason, for a reason. So she was like, she came up with a little story about it, you know, a dad, like having addiction and stuff like that. And then we were filming us, like doing our own interviews at the house and stuff like that. It's about substance abuse and opioid addiction and stuff like that, you know what I mean? Overdosing. And we just started playing around with it, and then now we're trying to make it into something, you know what I mean? Something a lot more than, and it has potential.
Did I understand correctly, Drew, did you write that? Is that what I heard him say, that you wrote that?
So I wrote a one-page story, and just for fun, based off of my experiences that I've seen in person when I worked in EMS as an EMT. And so I wrote this story, and then I brought it, you know, to our little studio, and then Jason read it, and then so he added his stuff to it, and then so we kind of went back and forth and tightened up the story, and then before we shot it, we kind of talked about the stuff that we've seen, because I mean everyone has known of someone or someone personal or someone of someone that struggled with some kind of substance abuse, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so we shared our stories about what we've seen, you know, in the past and how it affected us. And so we got into this mind concept, and then so we sat in front of the camera, and then we kind of told this story like it was our own story, like as if this experience happened to us. But in reality, this is the stuff that we've seen. And so we shot it, and basically it's just a child's perspective in a household of a heroin abuser, which is the father. And and that's our short mock film that we did, and that is the one that's actually being considered for to be screened in LA.
Oh, cool. Wow. Well, I hope it is, because it sounds like it's going to be good, and not just good, but, like, to help people. Because something can be a horror movie and still help people out with their problems.
Exactly.
I'm just one of those people. I can see the good in stuff like that.
Absolutely, and exactly. That's why it's called H is for horror, because it is a horror, and I think that is the real fear in today's life, is that topic right there.
Yeah. So if either of you don't, if you do, you know, go ahead and say something, but if neither one of you has anything more to say about that one, then one of you, it doesn't matter to me which one, to start talking about the hobo movie, like a synopsis and who wrote it, who got the idea, and things like that. Well, since it won't be a free-for-all, we'll just start with Drew.
Okay. Jason had this friend that wrote a scene of a script, and I loved the idea of it. It was only one page of just a scene. And I was like, this could be a movie. So we expand the story, and we toss the story back and forth on a screenwriting program. And we had to break our acts down, act one, two, and three, just to keep the story straightforward. And honestly, the film relates to everyday's problems, and I think it's contradicting on what we see today in today's world, which is that's why we are creating this film. And it's, even though it's a horror comedy, but it also reflects on what's going on in the world as we know right now.
And
what I mean by that,
what about
is who are?
I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
I'm sorry. And what I mean by that is people's behaviors are changing. You may notice that some people honestly get angry a lot quicker than normal for no reason.
Yeah.
And so we kind of turn that fact into a fiction, into our own story.
Cool. Wow. Yeah, that sounds like it's going to be good, too. Wow, you guys are just, like, blowing stuff up here. And if you were done, Drew, I don't want to cut you off, Drew, so if you have something else to say, I'll let you say it. I don't want you to think that you can't say anything else.
Oh, no. I mean, we're just excited to start shooting it. We got our locations down. We're just working on some more actors and background actors so it can reach its full potential. But, I mean, Jason, you got the rest?
There you go, Jason. She gave you your lead-in.
That's cool. Yeah, she could have kept on going, man. It don't matter to me. You know what I mean? I'm with it. So it's all cool. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to take it back to H's for horror. Yeah, I think it's something really amazing, man, because, like, look, I've already, like she said, somebody, you know somebody, or somebody knows somebody, and it don't matter what it is. Like, you see it every day, and it's been happening before even born, you know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. and the subject falls under everything. It doesn't matter what you know what I'm saying? Like, one out of every other person is probably using. Like, I'm not going to – I'm. You'll know my story when I write mine and they'll have the book. I don't want to speak it over the air. But I'm not afraid to, but I'd rather have it in book. It's a lot. And you'll understand my perspective of it. I've lost a lot of friends on it. I was a user myself. I used to put myself in, you know what I mean, dangerous situations, fun – you know what I mean? I see it from all perspectives. I've had friends die on me. You know what I mean? Still, like, I see it continue to mess with people. And truthfully, I think this film, man, and just staying in my own lane right now, doing this film stuff, is keeping me sober and keeping me happy with just all that stuff, every kind of disorder you can think. You know what I mean? Especially with the mental health too, you know? But like I said, yeah, I think it's a remarkable film. I didn't get it at first. I was like, I was thinking like, man, let's bust out a real full-length feature. You know what I mean? We have the power and just me and her to do a whole crew. We don't really need that many people. We'll bring people in when we need them for, like, you know, actors and, little bit of crew, you know what I mean? Maybe like 5-10 people. But other than that, we can do it all. And it's just a lot of strenuous on it. Then we're really going to go 1,000% with it. And I see her vision now with H's for Horror. And I mean, she was telling me about the EMS stuff in her job. So, and this is a platform to help people too. Maybe it'll help a lot of people. It would help me. You know what I mean? I see it. Not just because of the project, you know. I've been working on it way before that. But it also has a way of coming down different categories other than drugs and alcohol. It falls under mental, you know what I mean? Every category you can think of, like, for someone to be happy. And that's what we need. We need compassion. We need to do something. And this is cool, too. Like, if there's kids, you know what I mean, the younger generation needs it. In the world today. So I look at this film as like maybe help a lot of people. Maybe we can become something, and like we give a lot of money to foundations where we can start so much stuff for the kids. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Businesses and stuff like that for kids to do something or to display their talent, to give them better education. So raise money so they don't have to pay for school. We can just have money and they can just have it paid. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. That's why I see the potential in the film. Like, yeah, if it makes millions of stuff, I don't even want it. I'm giving it all away. I'll make sure my family and my friends are tight, people I know, and then I'm giving it all away. I'm going to give it all away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have anything else to say about that or the Hobo movie?
Nope. Hobo? So... Hobo Saves the World. I always loved comedy. Mel Brooks is like one of the big fans, you know what I mean? I love Mel Brooks. I love all like slapstick comedy, goofy comedy. I love it all. So when we were hanging out and we were just filming this little skit on her phone and she ended up putting it into a little trailer and I'm looking at it. So I just ran with it, you know what I mean? So like she said, we kept on bouncing it back and forth. So doing that kept on boosting more ideas and making it more interesting. And just instead of one of us writing it totally out and then passing it, you know what I mean, when it's done. So both of us doing that sparked this this idea. My friend who wrote the idea was he when I was in school at Douglas Education Center in Manassas, that's what I wanted to do at this project. But he wanted to do it on the green screen because he wanted to do it in a dumpster. And I'm thinking, dude, there's a lot of dumpsters you just clean out and put cardboard in it and fake, you know what I mean? We can go up there behind a building, you know what I mean? Do it. And then I had a lot of projects and stuff, like I said, in school. I had my own struggling and stuff, trying to pay school. I was dating a woman with three kids and stuff like that. It was up there, and just it was a lot. The school was a lot. Especially at the time, I was, what, two, three semesters living in my car. So we had these projects, and I really wanted to do my buddy's short comedy because it was real easy, but I never got the chance to do it. So when me and Drew went out like a few weeks ago and started shooting, when she made the trailer, that's when it hit me to do this film. And my buddy Jake, he's cool. He says, do what you want with it. So now, this idea of Hobo Saves the World, we're going to make Hobo Saves the World. It's a comedy and horror. But then I'm still going to do my buddy's green screen, like how he did the original script.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. You see what I mean? Like a two projects spun off another one. Then probably one more from this. I'm not done yet, but it's pretty interesting how it just kept on flowing like that. So I see the potential in it too. Like, plus it's fun, man. We love it, man. It's like, you know what I mean? It's a hobby. It's something to do. It's really, you know.
I love horror comedy, so I'm sure I'll love it.
Yeah, like most movies, you know, I even watch the dumbest films, man. It don't matter if it's goofy. I watch chick flicks by myself and cry. You know what I mean? I watch them all, man. My favorite films are black and whites and silent films. That's my favorite, and horror. Horror is what got me wanting to go to film school. You don't need to go to film school to make summer, so you see that nowadays. But I am glad I went there because I met a lot of good people, like Robert Tunnell. Did stuff with Tom Savini, you know what I mean? Like, good people, and, like, I'm hoping one day I can still work with them guys or they, you know, reach out to me later, you know what I mean? All of us. Because I never got a chance to meet George Romero, and he's one of my favorites. Like, I'm from Cumberland, Maryland, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And just, you know, I love just the horror, yeah. You can throw it back to Drew.
Well, actually, this shows you how fast time goes. We're down to like 6.5 minutes. So really, I was just going to ask you, Drew, if you have any, it sounds funny the way I'm going to say it, but any last words. It doesn't have to be about films, just like anything you want to talk about for about 3 minutes, because we've got 6.5. So I'm going to give you and Jason the same amount of time, or try to.
Okay.
Take the whole stick. I'm cool. Love you.
So last thing I would like to say is that our visions for our films that we are creating, it's not to get fame or any kind of glory. It's to build awareness to our society, our civilization, because it's really – the money is really not important. I mean, it is for bills and whatnot, but like truly, you know, the self-love and humanity is dying out. And I think if we can create these films, I think we can create a perspective and give these audience, these people, a different perspective and to see the world differently and to take care of it and to treat one another the way we're supposed to treat people. Not with the riotings and the rage and the killings. So hopefully that our films can actually create a voice, and that's what we're trying to do.
Wow. It, anything else that you want to say? Because you still got a few minutes. If you want to say anything else, feel free.
All right. Yeah. And but yeah. So I just think on just, you know, creating films. It's one thing to, like, you know, like anyone can write a story and throw explosions and robots and this and that. But honestly, any kind of film, a documentary, a fiction, sci-fi, whatever it is, it always has a certain message in every film. And hopefully that when we create our films that people can see what we're trying to say. And then if it goes that way, then hopefully it creates an impact on not just, you know, in this state, but not just this nation, but, you know, across the world. And that's why I believe filming is very, very important, because if we didn't have it, our form of communication is storytelling. And if we never had that, then I don't think we would have anything if storytelling never existed, because, I mean, humans been doing it since the dawn of time.
Right.
With hyperglue and all that. So without storytelling, you wouldn't have film, you wouldn't have music. And that world would be very, very bland, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Well, and music is a story, and so
yes.
Is art. Painting, and as you know, you're an artist, a painting is its own story.
Yes, yes. Interesting about artwork. Depending on the person, there's this thing in your brain called the cerebral cortex, and
mm-hmm.
that actually amplifies your art abilities. So if you ever see people who've done insane hyperrealism or paintings, it just means that their brain chemistry is a little bit more amped up than others. So it's pretty cool. So when you see paintings and sketches, there's a lot of psychology behind it, just like with everything else in art. And I think it's creativity, it's self-expression. And I believe it's very, very important for everyone.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Jason, do you have
sure.
anything else to say? Because we've got a little over 2 minutes. So if you've got something else to say, you have a chance.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I agree with her. Like, this is the main objective of the project, just do something for us, the passion, the love of it, for the art. Because, like, we're all multi-talented with all kinds of different artistic skills. You know what I mean? Like I said, I used to draw and all. I haven't drew anything in years. Like, I can draw cartoon characters, all that. But I guess I suppressed it to do this, like the filmmaking. And then all the other stuff will come into play later. You know, I can do all that later. But we're building a platform for people to express individuality, to still have a right, you know what I mean, to be able to do what they want to do, whether they have money or not, you know what I mean, and not be afraid, you know what I mean, stuff like that. Like, you know, that's basically what we're doing. And I think it's a good thing because there's a lot, you know what I mean, I got a lot of nieces and nephews, and I know a lot of people do, but you got to think about the other people, like after us, younger generation, you know what I mean? So we do it for them too and the rest of the world. But, and it's just a love, man. We love it. And it took me a long time. Like, I've always been a photographer, but as I said, it took me till 32 to go to film for school. I could have just never went to school and still been doing film. You know what I mean? I was already in movies before I went to film school. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
And that's why I said it was the best decision I ever did in my life. Because I was, you know, I was out there making mistakes and doing, like, you know what I mean, other stuff. And like I said, I traveled, had jobs, ups and downs, up and, you know. But,
I hate to, like, just cut you off,
sure.
But at least I didn't cut you off in mid-sentence.
No, you're cool.
I waited until you were done talking. We've got, like, only about 20 seconds left. So if you want to say goodbye to the audience or to each other or, you know, whatever, you can do that now, and then I'll sign off.
Yep, Drew, take it.
All right, man. All right, everyone. Have a good night and tomorrow's a good day. Adios.
Okay, quickly, Jason, did you want to say bye?
Yeah, I just want to say, everyone in the world, keep making films, man. If there's someone that needs help with stuff, reach out to us. We're down to be a part of it, whether we get paid or not. You know what I mean? And we'll spread the love, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Thank you all.
The only reason why I'm rushing it is because we've actually gone over the time, and they'll cut somebody off in mid-sentence.
Sure.
So I don't want that to happen. So I'm going to say thank you both for being on the show. It was a pleasure. And have a good night.
Sure. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Bye.